News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 2.25 PM. I ran a little long on my opening monologue. We'll just do what we got to do. Hey, listen, before I go too much further, I got to tell you, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM-FM capabilities, it does not matter. That's why we have a website called rightsideradio.org. Lots of stuff on that website, too. Our podcasts are on there. We've got the writings that Copper and I both do that are published around the state. We've got, what else we got on there? We got the Right Side Store where you can order a coffee mug, a t-shirt, whatever you want. All kinds of stuff's on there. But one of the things we also want to have on there is the listen live option. You can stream the show online every single day live. That's why we have so many people in so many places that no matter where you are in the whole wide world, go to the World Wide Web like they do, click on rightsideradio.org. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yes, rightsideradio.org, listen live option is there for you. Well, a lot of things are happening. So the first part of the Triple Dipper, I'm going to spend some time talking about the economy. Now, I told you too, coming up top of the hour, 3 p.m., Mike Russell, a friend of mine who I met at a conference up in D.C., really hit it off. He'd had a background in radio as well, but he also has spent a lot of time working in conservative politics. So he's going to be on with us talking about the state of elections, maybe bigger picture than what you and I are seeing with the constant barrage of ads for our U.S. Senate race or our governor's race or your local, you know, legislators' races, that kind of thing. He's going to give us the big perspective, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say. And then at 4 p.m., State Senator Rusty Glover, who I served with in the Alabama State Senate, one of the more conservative members of the Senate when I was there, he is now running for state auditor. He'll be on with us at 4 p.m., and we'll talk to Rusty Glover right here live in the studio. Okay, that being said, I've also got the Triple Dipper. So I don't know if you guys are seeing it. There's been a lot of talk about baby formula. You know how I became aware of this? When my own son let me know that they were having trouble finding baby formula. And my first thought was, well, go to another store. You know, what do you do? Well, you can't go to another store because the other store doesn't have it either. I don't know if y'all have seen this or not, but literally, so here's the thing. It became a family mission. Hey, so we have a brand new grandbaby. She's just a little bit over a month old. And she takes a special kind of formula because another formula is, I think there's an allergic reaction potentially. And it just, you know, what happens is, that, by the way, formula for babies that are bottle fed, it becomes pretty much their sole source of nutrition. And right now, they couldn't find it up there where they are. He's in the military, so they're stationed elsewhere. They couldn't find it where they are. So we started working down here. We couldn't find it. Charlene went to multiple stores. What in the world? She comes back home and says, this is real. I can't find any. Our daughter went to a store where she lives, and she was able to find two or three, you know, cans or whatever you, what have you, a formula. And they were ecstatic. They're like, great, buy it. We'll pay you back. I'm thinking they're out of state, and they're having to get a family member in another state to search through multiple stores, and we only found it in one location. And by the way, that was 2 weeks ago. You would think this would be a short-term gaffe. No, it's not. I mean, to be lighthearted here, I mean, Babylon Bee, I love Babylon Bee, and I'm going to talk about Babylon Bee more later in number two on the Triple Dipper, but Babylon Bee came out with a story just yesterday. You know, they do satire. Let's go ahead and take that right up front. It says, saved. Trump reveals he's been stockpiling baby formula for 7 years after being warned of a coming shortage in a dream. Well, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and have fun with that. It's not that funny to the moms, though, who can't find it. It says right here, the nation can breathe a sigh of relief today as former President Trump announced he's been stockpiling baby formula for 7 years after being warned in a dream of the coming shortage. He said, I got so many silos filled, it's unbelievable, as he cracked open a fresh can. Wish that were true. But unfortunately, it's not. Right now, we got an economic issue going on, represented in part by a supply chain that can't even put baby formula in the hands of parents. This is jacked up. You stay tuned. We're going to talk about this in detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. So, yeah, 2:36 p.m. right now. I want to thank Mike from Huntsville on line three for hanging on during the break. So let me go grab that call real quick. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams, how you doing?
I just had a comment about the baby formula shortage. You remember back when the COVID deal broke out and there was a hand sanitizer shortage? And
yeah.
Everybody, all the companies were speaking out and wanted to help and wanted to do what they could to make sure we had hand sanitizer. Well, now we've got baby formula shortage, and I haven't heard anything from anybody wanting to contribute or try to remedy this problem.
Yeah, I tell you, Mike, now first of all, your point is taken pretty well here on one aspect. You're not hearing a whole lot of solutions. But now baby formula is regulated by the FDA. It's not like you can just make hand sanitizer out of, you know, what used to be beer. So they can't do that. You can't have companies that don't usually make it suddenly jumping on board and helping make baby formula. What is irritating, though, is that the fact that one of the major issues in this supply chain gaffe we've got is that the FDA pretty much forced a shutdown and a recall on one major supplier, and they have, months later, not allowed them to go back, even though the company keeps saying, why are we waiting? What are we doing? It's like the FDA has got no hurry up in their bones whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they seem to be able to hurry on decisions against conservative patriots and,
yeah,
you know, issues that they don't agree with. They're really quick to act. But when it comes to actually doing something that will help people, they seem to really be slow to act.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I heard somebody the other day, I think it was Stephen Miller, said that if Trump were still in office right now, he would have already had all of the CEOs of the baby formula companies in the Oval Office, talked to them, told them to get on the stick, asked them what they needed, and then looked at the FDA chairman or CEO and said, you get this thing going fast or you're losing your job. And that would have happened.
Exactly. I read the same thing, and yeah, that's exactly right. And I just I hope people that made the mistake of voting for Biden or these policies actually consider what they've gotten us all into.
Well, I don't know. I think some of them are waking up. I hope a lot of them are waking up. But, hey, Mike, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. You have a great day, man. All right, listen, that was a great segue into number one on the Triple Dipper. The economy, stupid. I mean, that's the phrase that Democrats tried to use against Republicans back in the Clinton era, right? It's the economy, stupid. Well, okay, that's fine. How about we just flip it around now? It's the economy, stupid, and you own it. But yet, too often they don't. So here's an article I pulled off of Fox Business. Fox Business dated yesterday. Inflation gave most Americans a 2.6% wage cut in April alone. Uh-huh. So right now, here we are. We have a very tight labor market, right? We got rapid wage growth. And see, what happens is as the economy goes down, people are having trouble with their buying power. Employees are demanding higher pay. When they get higher pay, though, there's a distinct issue with the fact that there's not enough there's more demand than there is supply, because our supply chain is also jacked up. So at the same time, you got more money in your pocket. Now you can't go buy it. And then what you can't buy, because there's less of it, they raise the prices because of scarcity or because of the fuel prices of getting it to market. Now you have inflation. Then all of a sudden you have basically what is recognized as a decline in wage growth. So you're looking at wages went up, but at the same time, your wage capabilities went down 2.6% in April. Down 2.6% from the same month a year ago when you factor in all the things I just said. So by that usual measure, the typical U.S. worker, it says on Fox Business, is actually worse off today than they were a year ago. And it's measurable. It's not like someone says, are you better off today than you were a year ago? No. Well, this one you can measure. So basically what happens is you got high inflation and you got rising wages, and that can fuels a concern. They had a thing called a wage spiral back in the 70s during the Carter era. Ooh, we do not want to see that happen again. All right, but all these things are contributing to it. So it's the economy, stupid. Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff wrapped up in that. 1819 News Today, story by my friend Erica Thomas. 1819 News Today had a piece called Rising Diesel Prices Impacting Virtually Everyone in Alabama, Including Cities. All right, so even your city governments are seeing. So what you know, city governments provide local quality of life essential services. If fuel is going up, you know that also affects their ability to collect trash. It affects their ability to put law enforcement on the road. It affects their ability to provide, you know, any number of things, all of which relate to fuel. So the story on 1819 says, according to the AAA, the national average of diesel is $5.54 a gallon. $5.54 a gallon. So this time 1 year ago, the average cost was $3.11. That's a $2.43 increase, y'all, in 1 year. It's a 78% increase in cost. It's crippled some industries and businesses across the nation. In Jefferson County, here's how the local governments are dealing. In Jefferson County, the Clay City manager, Ronnie Dixon, announced Tuesday that the city is halting all paving projects. Really? And this is what he said. He said, with diesel fuel over $5 a gallon, asphalt's as high as it's ever been in the last 15 years. So we're being very judicious. We're patching right now rather than paving these entire roads. We'll maintain, but we will not pave. All right, so that's a quality of life issue right there. You'd rather, you know, your tax dollars are being paid on that gas tax, right? Part of that devolves down to the local governments. And now you can't get your roads paved even though you're paying more at the pump to allegedly help, you know, rebuild Alabama, right? Well, here's another one. In South Alabama, the city of Abbeville, the mayor there says, it's affected the diesel that we burn ourselves with trash pickup and that type of stuff. It's made a difference, and it's kind of blowing our budget out of the water. He says, but we're doing what we can to make it go, and yes, it's impacting everybody. It goes on further from there, though. Just the cost of diesel. Right now, there's even concerns, but diesel supplies are low. They're very low. All over the world, by the way. East Coast capacity, it says in this one report that was pulled down from the S&P Global Commodity Insights, East Coast capacity has been cut in half from 1.6 million barrels per day to 800,000 barrels per day. Wow. And farmers here in Alabama, it says, are already bracing for the impact. A guy named Eric Blankenship, he's a farmer. He has a 500-acre farm. Says he's been watching diesel prices and projections, and he's very concerned. He mostly runs cattle, but he says he has about 2,000 acres he used to row crop, and he still tends some of it. And he says, this is what the farmer Blankenship says. He says, I had some seed oats that I fertilized. He said, the same fertilizer I bought last year for $250 a ton, I paid $640 a ton for it a month ago. He said, the input costs are not worth what your commodity prices are. That's what we're dealing with right now. That's just one aspect of what is happening in the Biden economy. That's just fuel prices. But that's, by the way, that's businesses and cities. What about you and I? Just driving around. I mean, Lord, I had meetings out of town yesterday. Spent the day before running around. I put $60 in gas in just to make a short drive. Washington Examiner, dated May 10th. I know, this is depressing. Hang with me, y'all. It's Friday. We'll do something fun here in a minute. The average price of gas in the United States rose to a new high on Tuesday of $4.37 a gallon. That's the average price of gas nationwide, $4.37 a gallon. Now, we're not there, but we're close. I think the most I paid was $4.17 while I was driving around a couple days ago. Yeah, there's that. However, what did Joe Biden do? Well, story on Breitbart, dated 3 days ago. Joe Biden blames Putin's gas tax as gas prices jumped. No, it's not. And by the way, I know he just canceled, not only did he cancel the Keystone Pipeline, not only is he making regulatory burdens hard for the oil refining industry, but he also is now going back on his promise to reopen the idea of oil and gas leases. Now, okay, let's be real. I do know the fact that you have a lease does not mean you're going to drill. The lease gives you the rights to explore and find the capabilities. When Biden cancels the leases, that signals to the industry that they are not wanted and they will not be, I don't want to say catered to, they will not be treated well. So why would they invest their billions in something where they may see the tap get shut off on them halfway through? Why go through all the trouble to pay the massive amounts down to procure the oil and gas exploration lease when you know you're never going to be allowed to drill because of the current administration? And so it creates this backlog. Well, let me just remind folks, and by the way, I say remind, I mean, I spent 8 years in Montgomery. I didn't know this till I got there. And in fact, what's interesting was it's actually a friend of mine who helped put this in place. But Alabama makes a great deal of money off of oil and gas exploration lease royalties from the Gulf of Mexico. I want to say last year alone, we took in the neighborhood of $50 million in state revenue that goes to our state oil and gas trust fund and also goes down to local coastal governments so that places like Orange Beach can do, you know, improvements to their properties and things like that. All of that is impacted when you consider the fact that the Biden administration is shutting off oil and gas leases, and that has a detrimental effect on our economy overall, and it keeps the cost of gas rising because the oil and gas industry has no sense of consistency and they don't know what to do because they are, by the way, in business for the purpose of being in business. All right, Copper, take us to a break. I am on a tear right now. I got more. I got a stack, y'all. I'm not sure I can get through it all. But the Biden economy, it is multifaceted and it's multi-stupid. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're spending some time right now in number one of the Triple Dipper. It's the economy, stupid, and that's what the Democrats used to say to the Republicans. Well, how about we flip that on them? It's their turn to wear that and to own it. But try to get them to own it. That's a different story. Hey, I got a caller who held on during the break, so let me jump over there real quick and grab it. Line three, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. I hope y'all are too.
We are. What's on your mind?
This is a bit on the macabre side, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I do not think it's readily possible. I think it's more of a case of neglect in many ways. But after the Supreme Court leak, being simultaneous with the lack of baby formula in the around the area, you know, there are always outside could be some factions that might be thinking if we can't get rid of our children before they're born, then we simply starve them to death afterwards.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just neglect.
Well, I agree with you. But you know what, though, Brian, Charlene and I were talking about this at the house. There's so many things swirling around right now that you look at it like, and it's not just things like you and I speculating on stuff like that. Sometimes it's what they say, like Janet Yellen, who said the other day in her remarks that she believes that if we do away with abortion, that it will cause an economic difficulty in our nation. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what she said. We had another one that said that, you know, this is going to be something that's going to be hard on mothers because, you know, then they've got to raise kids. Well, that's called being a mother. Anyway.
And if you got yourself in that situation and it wasn't rape or incest or something like that, it's neglect that you got your neglect that you got into that position.
Well, totally agree. I'm not sure I'm willing to go ahead and say that the baby formula and the SCOTUS decision are hand in hand, but it definitely all swirls together. Brian, thanks for the call as always. All right, let me jump back onto it here. So I got a few more things there. By the way, that baby formula thing, story here from NBC. I will tell you this. NBC reports that as of May 9th, just what, 4 days ago, it's 40% of America's baby formula supplies are out of stock. That's huge. It's over 40%. It's 43%. So let's just go ahead and say we're darn close to half. And the map that I've seen that they show up on the screen once in a while will clearly show that some states are in the red because they're over 50. Because it depends on just basically where you are. This is the weirdest shortage. Now, I remember when the toilet paper shortage was happening, you know, I remember when, you know, things were, you know, hard to find for a while during COVID. Then we had the supply chain total gaffes last year with things that you couldn't get. I remember my my son and daughter-in-law were having trouble getting their car shipped to them. They bought a new car and it wasn't going to come in for forever. You know, I had a guy here on the show that manages a furniture store, and he said you might place an order for a new couch. It might take a year to get it. So all that stuff's happening. Baby formula, who saw this coming? Well, I'll tell you what needs to change, though. The FDA needs to get off their backsides and make this happen. Because, folks, right now, part of what we're seeing is a shortage based in part upon the FDA's recalcitrance. They are literally negligent in their duties in following through on something that the company that they have put, you know, into the position of having to do the recall for allegedly a bacteriological infection. The company is saying, you have yet months later to ever tie this to our formula. We need to rekindle our manufacturing processes. FDA is still sitting there. 3 or 4 months later, no approval to move forward. Last story I got on that one, which is all part of the economy, and I didn't even get into the fact that the Dow fell 600 points. I didn't even get into other issues before me, like the fact that, you know, inflation fears driving the consumer confidence index way down. I've got all kinds of stuff on there. But the last one I'll just tell you on baby formula. Washington Examiner reports, and some of you all have heard this already, despite the fact that we're at a 43% overall shortage of baby formula around the nation, and that even my own members of my family can't find it, that the reality is right now, illegal immigrants' pallets of baby formula are showing up on the border. Washington Examiner, dated May the 12th, that's yesterday, has a story here talking about one congresswoman who showed pictures that were sent to her by an anonymous member of the Customs and Border Patrol, who that person themselves was livid because pallets and pallets of baby formula were showing up at the border at the Ursula Processing Facility in McAllen, Texas. Thousands are being housed and processed there. Customs and Border Protection, their only response is, we take seriously our legal responsibility to ensure the safety and security of individuals in our custody. You know why we have a huge shortage? A lot of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that we're making sure that illegal immigrants who are here in vast numbers because of Biden's lack of policy are getting what is not on our shelves. That's a wacky situation. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You stay tuned. We got a guy named Mike Russell calling in here in a few minutes. He's got a lot of information, or just, for that matter, personal perspective on elections that are happening around the nation. Are we going to take it back during the midterms? Let's talk to Mike Russell here in just a few minutes. Right Side Radio, stay tuned.